Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 0.035% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75, 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? March has never changed anything.
Shit, I almost fell. I'm going to explain this to you really quickly, and then I'll kind of show you what I did. But when I make a tiny house, So I'm going to call this a tiny house shell, right? So right now, my current plan is a solar shed. I have several hundred watts of solar that I intend to put on a roof. I think I have a charge controller. I think I have a 30-amp MPPT, so I'll probably do about, I have six extra 310-watt panels, so I'll probably put two of those on the roof, and then I have a 5,000-watt-hour battery bank, and then a 1,500-watt pure sine wave inverter. So right now, my plan is to make this a solar shed. The goal of this project was to do see if I could get this done under $500, which I'm currently doing. I'm in under my $500 budget, so that I'm pretty excited about. And I will explain how I was able to do that in another video, because it does require a little bit of effort to source things, get deals, and so on. But I kind of do a tiny house shell, and then I use it as a shed, and then if I want to convert it to a tiny house, I can. So for example, I have 16-inch centers. I probably, if I were to do it over again, would do 24s and 2x6s, just heighten the R value. I experimented with 1-inch, I think this is XPS, rigid foam board as sheathing. I do like this. I currently have the radiant barrier facing in, just because of the way I sided it. I use the H panel, so it's pretty flat to it on the outside. There's no room for a gap. So I did it this way. I did it that way intentionally. The roof I may do differently. I have 8-foot walls on this side. I have a 10-foot wall on this side. It's actually about 10'4.5" with the with everything. I am doing a salt box roof. So this is some experimenting. I also have I'm going to have a loft on this end. So this is 8x12, and I will come in, because I already have all the supplies. I already have all the foam board and the siding and the lumber and everything that I need. So I'll show you a little bit of it just to give you a touch of what I'm doing. Let's turn this around. So let's see. So I'm gonna come out one more here, and I am going to make this a 4-foot sort of lofted area. Now, let me scoot these. There we go. Okay, so I have a ridge beam there. That ridge beam is up 3 feet above the double top plate. You can see there, I did sort of a salt box roof, so 3-foot rise. I go over 3 feet this way, 5 feet this way for the 8 feet. So it is a bit of a salt box roof. Got the doorway framed out here. Let's see what else. I mean, that's about it. I could have, if I was just doing a shed, I'm gonna also, like, along here, I'm gonna put a little bit of storage. While I use it for a shed, I'm gonna keep storage. I'm just gonna do storage up there, and then I could loft it later. I like the salt box style, because if I did decide to convert these into, like, 2 little bedrooms or sleeping areas or something like that, you have a lot more headroom on this side where you need it. So, there'd be a lot of headroom there. And then that beam's going to come down to here, so much less there, or the rafters are going to come down. So that is sort of where I'm at on this project. I currently have about 2 hours into the floor. I did 3 walls in 3 hours, so that's 5. I did the long wall with the door in 1.5 hours. And then I have about another 1.5 hours in the siding. So I'm probably into this right now about 12 hours. I also got, and I'll show you, this is kind of part of my getting deals on stuff. So these are all 1x's. You can see they're a little bent, but I do have, you know, my planer and stuff like that, so I can plane these down. But for the... basically, what that was for the roof, I am going to do my joist, and then I'm actually going to put the rigid foam board down on top of that. I'm going to screw these 3/4 thick purlins into the rigid foam board, and with the radiant barrier facing up, and then I'm going to put my roofing on top of that, and then it's capped, so any of the heat will be able to rise and kind of get out of there. And I'll have the 3/4 inch space required for the radiant barrier. Another thing, I'm in Arizona, so I see a lot of people make a lot of mistakes. One of them being they'll put the vapor barrier on the outside in Arizona. Now remember, the vapor barrier is always supposed to go on the cooler side. And in Arizona, that's usually the interior. So that is some food for thought when you see people wrapping the outside versus the inside in Arizona. But this is, again, just kind of an experimental design where I wanted to mess with this. Part of me getting deals, I got 40 of these purlins. which aren't straight, fine for my purpose. They're 4 inches thick anyway, so going to be easy to hit even if there is a little bit of bow. And I could straighten them out if need be with my planer or my table saw. But they had them at Lowe's for, I think it was supposed to be like $180. And then they had them marked down in their cold lumber to like 90, like to like $100. And then I talked to the manager and he gave them to me for $40. So I got 40 of them. I got them for $1 a piece. It's kind of how I end up finding deals on stuff. I also bought some gift cards at a pretty decent discount to get my lumber and to get all of my sheathing. So for example, I got 15 pieces of sheathing for I think about $60 for 1-inch rigid foam by the time everything was done. So that'll give me an R value of 4 in the wall straight out the gate. And then if I wanted to do a tiny house, I always have the option of just buying rigid foam board when I get a deal on it, insulating one wall at a time. And that would be an option too if I wanted to super, you know, insulate it as a tiny house and be able to run it off a smaller AC unit. I will do another video on this. I don't tend to update my builds. I don't document my builds. I'm kind of a vlog channel anyway, and I build a lot of stuff, but I don't make plans for anything. I kind of do it off the cuff, the top of my head, and it's really hard for me to document and do as I go, so I probably will just do updates like this, and I'll give you a tour as I go. I will show you the outside wall quickly. Okay, so this is the R panel, and then I went ahead and did the screws with the little, I think it's a, I don't know if it's a neoprene or what it is, but I got this R panel, I basically got it for free. I got 38 sheets of it for $400, and then I sold half of those. I sold 18 of those sheets for the same $400, so I was able to kind of get my money back there, but it looks like I like it. It's pretty decent stuff. Also got some different colors of it, so there's that. But and let's see. Oh, and even the screws, they're 1.5 inch. I got those on Amazon Warehouse Deals, 250 of them for $17. So everything I get a deal on, a penny pinch the shit out of it all. All right, if you have any questions, feel free to ask.
Okay, sort of recovering from yesterday's road trip. It was like two road trips in one. Went to Chicago, hung out with Pleasant Stephens and my Reva Brown. And then we went down to another part of Illinois to do some research and social networking. Any event, today's podcast is titled Cash Flow Houses at E-Commerceville. I'm going to play another clip because the idea here is how to earn money through e-commerce. Now, we have a Facebook page that's E-Commerceville, e-commerce social network. Just put in E-Commerceville, one word. And that's our Facebook page. You can contribute content to it and all that. Today we want to talk about cash flow houses. So I'm going to play this next segment and go in a little bit detail. And if you have any questions, call 619-768-2945.
It's a crappy day out, but I have some big news for you guys, so stay tuned for this video. It is raining and raining. Yesterday it rained all day. Today it is raining all day. Today is even worse than yesterday. No, today's a crappy day. and it's raining, it's wet. The colors of fall look really cool. A lot of the red and oranges are really turning really bright. But this video is probably one of the most awaited videos I'm going to make this year. So I built a tiny house, right? You know, it's right here. I built it probably a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago I built this house. It's cool, people like it, I like it still, and it was really fun to do. But what's next? Am I just going to make videos about the same old house every week? Or am I going to change things up and build my second house? Now, if you guys have been watching my videos and seeing what I've been saying, I have been hinting about the second tiny house and when I'm going to make it and when I'm going to build it. In this video, I'm going to talk about the second tiny house a little bit more and give you guys a lot more information about it. But let's head inside because it's nasty out here. Okay, so now that we're inside, it's a little bit warmer. I have the heater going and it's not raining on me. Now that we're inside, we can talk a little bit more. So I've been thinking a lot about this subject for a long time. I've been preparing and planning, saving up money, and I've just been preparing a lot for the second build. I've been hinting to it a lot in these last few videos, but I haven't really known what my next steps are going to be to, you know, really take the next step into the project. The time frame. That's what I first want to talk to you guys about, is the time frame when I want to get this done. Now, I originally did say 16, but the way my birthday aligns, I turn... my birthday's in October, basically November, so October 29th is my birthday, so it's kind of late in the year. So if I plan on doing it 16, I'll have to build it in the winter time, and I don't want to do that. I want to build it during the summertime, so I was thinking this upcoming summer would be a great summer to do it, because I'll be 15, and then I won't have to worry about building it during the winter time, because that just sucks. So I want to do it in the summertime, so maybe I'm planning on building it this upcoming summer. Now there's a lot of things to talk about with this build, and I don't know how much I want to tell you guys yet, because I don't know how much things are going to change. There's a lot of things that are going to happen. I made a checklist down here on my laptop that I'll be looking at, make sure I cover everything. Number one thing I want to do is collaborate with you guys. I want to work with you, I want to work with brands, I want to work with companies, I want to work with people. That's number one thing. I don't want this to be just my build. I want to be able to bring you guys along, and I want it to be your build as well. If that's just you watching these videos, supporting me that way, that helps a lot. If you guys want to be a Patreon, that supports me as well, or by leaving comments, you know, my videos about the next build, I'll have questions, and I know I will have questions, or I'll put a poll, and you guys can decide what product I use, or what kind of toilet I use, or like any of that kind of stuff. So I want you guys to be involved in this build. I don't want this to be all my decisions. I want you guys to make decisions and, you know, help me with this build. That's my number one thing. I would not be making my next tiny house without you guys. That's the reason I'm making my next tiny house, is because you guys are helping me and because you guys want to see the next build. I want this to be a very affordable tiny house, but I want it to be a tiny house I'll be living in for many years to come. So it's going to be on an 18 or 20 foot trailer. It's going to be on wheels, and it's going to be a nice size tiny home. This tiny home, you could live in it full time, but it is quite small. It only is 5.5 feet wide and 10 feet long. So that's, including the loft, is 89 square feet. That's not a lot of space. This is smaller than most people's sheds. So I want it to be a lot bigger. I want it to have all the full amenities that normal homes have: showers, full kitchens, and just all the normal things that people have in their home. I want it to be in this tiny house. Kind of like what I said earlier, I want to document the entire process. Every step of the way, I want it to be on film. That way, I can look back on it when I'm older, and you guys can be there looking at what I'm doing as well. I want to document the entire build, and make videos about the build, and show people what I'm doing. That's kind of the whole purpose, is to document this build for you guys, and to make some awesome content. There's many ways to support this build. As I said earlier, you can become a Patreon. Some people have already become Patreons. You can donate. You can just watch the videos. That's one way of supporting me, and that's pretty easy to do. If you guys really enjoy these videos, just watch the videos. You guys can comment, and you guys can also give me advice. That's the number one thing I said earlier, is I need advice, and I want to really involve you guys in this build. Also, I want to work with brands and companies. I want to work with them and really support their project if they're willing to support me in this project. So there's a lot of things that are going to be coming up in the near future, and I want to really prepare you guys and let you guys know what's going on. and I am going to give a little more access to the behind the scenes on my Patreon page. So if you guys want to see a little more behind the scenes in the next build, go to my Patreon page and become a member there. You guys can get behind the scenes content for just $2 a month. So I don't think that is too much, but if you guys really want to take it the next step, become a Patreon. But I don't want to just talk about how to support me. I want to talk about what's to come and what am I going to be doing in the near future. I do have some big plans, and some of the plans I can't share with you guys quite yet because I haven't had them down written on paper yet. Some of these are just in my head and some of them are just in the works right now. So I really wish I could tell you guys some of these plans I have, but I can't tell you them just yet. But you guys will find out very soon. I could talk about the subject for hours and hours, and there's a lot to tell you guys, and I'm just having a hard time finding the stuff to tell you guys that I can tell you guys right now. Just so you know, there's a lot that's coming up in the near future this summer. So guys, you guys need to stay tuned for this summer when I plan on building my second tiny home. The main thing I want you guys to get out of this video is that I am building my second tiny home, and I want this to be as much as a build for me as it is a build for you. And I want to involve you guys in every part and every step I make in this process. So I hope you guys really enjoyed this video, and I can't wait. I say this all the time, but I cannot wait for the future videos that are going to be coming up this summer about my next tiny home. So thank you guys for watching, and I'll see you guys in the next video. Bye. By the way, look at this lighting. Quite a difference, isn't there? Wow.
All right, today's podcast is titled Cashflow Houses at ecommerceville.com. And we got a website too. E-commerce, but we haven't, it's not ready yet, although it's published. I got to really update because I just got scribbles on it. But yesterday, we were up in Chicago and in one or two other little towns up in Illinois. A road trip. Within a road trip, hanging out with Pleasant Stevens and Reba Brown. And let's see. Oh, if you go to our Facebook page, which is titled E-Commerceville, E-Commerce Social Network, and there's only one E-Commerceville on web, to my knowledge, on Facebook. So go to e-commerceville.com. E-Commerceville on Facebook. That's our Facebook page. Still getting used to it. We took some pictures, matter of fact. Let's see. We were at Pleasant Stephens' place. He and his wife have a real lovely home. And his office and everything. If you scroll down the page, the pictures I want you to see, and then I took one video. He's got a pretty nice sized place up there in Chicago. So he's got a place where at his place on the outdoors, he's got enough room where you can possibly build about 10 tiny houses. So. However, when he calls in, we'll have him break all that down because we're going to let him comment on that. But the pictures are there. So I took them myself yesterday, and then there's one video that I took. And then there's a picture of Pleasant as well. So that's up in Chicago. Now, one of the reasons why I took these pictures is because you don't have to come to Chicago. Or Taft, Oklahoma, any other location that we might have within Ecovilla Podcast Stand to participate. If you've got some space in your backyard, or if you don't have a backyard, but you got a friend who's got a backyard or a place where you can build, that's what we want to get into. So, and then Pleasant Steppens also has his own podcast titled Strictly Business, which is on Monday through Friday. What time does he do that? I think it's, depending on your time zone, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. I don't know the number off the top of my head. If anybody knows it, give us a call, 619-768-2945. Because, like I said, he's got a pretty interesting podcast Monday through Friday. But anyway, so those pictures and that, I think I put at least one video up there. So we'll be doing, or he'll be doing, or we'll do a collaboration. But yesterday, man, we had a pretty busy, I flew up there and then he Ubered me over to his place and then sat around, chopped it up, had brunches. His wife's an excellent cook. Then we had to put the social capital in place. We needed a driver, so we got one. That's where Reba Brown comes in. And we made a road trip to Hopkins Park, Illinois, in Hopkins Park as well as Pembroke, Illinois. So they're like right by each other, although the locals down there say they're basically one and the same. And then we met some contacts down there, and then we had to come back to Chicago to get me back to the airport. So yesterday was a long day. So we posted some of those pictures up on our Facebook page, E-Commerceville, one word, E-Commerceville, which is an e-commerce social network, not only online, but to face. Let me open up the phone line. 253, your mic is open. 253. Are you on mute, 253? Okay, well, you know, all right. We're going to come back to 253. Let's play the next. One of the things we're going to concentrate on, particularly with these events we're going to have in various locations, building events, is concentrating on how to build a $500 to no more than a $1,500, $1,600 building. Okay, and I'll go through the reasons why you want to. A lot of people who build these tiny houses go way over. Well, it depends on what they want. We're not going to live in these. We want these for e-commerce. So the budget needs to be between $500 to no more than, I'd say, $1,600. Let's play this one clip here. This couple built a house, tiny house, for $420.
Hey there, everyone. My name is Jordan from Happen Films, and this is a $420 tiny house. Let's check it out.
This beautiful structure behind us is the house that we built over the course of about 3 months out of pretty much entirely recycled materials. So the total cost of the house is about $420 if you include the petrol money that went into it.
The size is about 2.5 by 2.5 meters, 6.25 square.
We went by dumpsters from demolition sites. We looked on the website Gumtree. We ended up getting pretty much everything we needed to build a whole house just for free.
So we decided to try and build our home with just hand tools.
Yeah, we tried to. We didn't manage to in the end. There were a couple of things that were too difficult for us to do with the tools that we had and the skills that we had.
So we ended up having to use a power drill and an impact driver.
We had to make 5 purchases. We bought some cement for the foundations, some steel bracing tape because it was a bit wonky, some screws for the roof, a little tub of wood glue to make some window frames. We bought chains to hold the windows open. Oh, and we bought the 6 things. We bought some hinges.
So we were using salvaged paper insulation to try and line the whole house, and we ran out. We were just short and we didn't have enough to do the roof. But luckily we found this tarp in a dumpster. We were out a couple of months ago going through the local supermarket dumpsters looking for food, and there was this perfectly new tarp in brand new condition, and it's still in its packet.
I guess we wanted to challenge the idea that you need like a whole lot of high-tech tools and skills and knowledge to be able to build a house. I mean, that house is mostly built with a handsaw and a hammer. I think the main challenge we face is that neither of us have ever really built anything before.
I built a chook coop once.
Yeah, Rachel built a chook coop. I built a set of bunk beds once. We had to learn everything as we went. It takes it away a little bit from that professional need a whole lot of tools, need a whole lot of skills and a whole lot of different people. You need someone to lay the foundation, someone to build a frame, someone to paint it. The conventional building methods that are used, it's hard to imagine them being sustained more than 50 or 100 years in the future. Just the amount of resources that they require and the importation of all kinds of things. We acknowledge that this kind of building can't really be sustained either. It's not an indefinitely sustainable technique. But using recycled materials and building much smaller spaces is something that can be sustained for a lot longer into the future. We live on a community, which means there are communal spaces for socialising. We have a communal bathroom, shower. For us, a house is really just a place to be able to have some quiet time in, a place to sleep in, a place to store our personal belongings in. Living a more of a shared communal lifestyle means that we can get away with just a really small house because we don't really need it for all these other things. It's great to have built our own house. It's like more than just having built a house. The house is cool. Yeah, don't get me wrong, it's great. But to have developed the skills and knowledge to do it again and to like share that with other people, I'm just, yeah, chuffed about the amount that I've learned through doing that.
Land ownership can be a huge barrier for people looking to live this way, and some people who see this may think that it isn't possible for them because they can't afford to buy their own land. The community that Liam, Rachel, me, and four others live on is owned by one family, and they allow us to stay on the land rent-free in exchange for developing the property by building infrastructure, planting veggie gardens, and taking care of the place. I feel that more scenarios like this will start to happen, where owners of unused land invite people to live on their property to develop a community and to do something great with the land. The challenge is connecting land owners with people looking to live this way.
Even if you've got no skills and knowledge, you can kind of just do that yourself. And it's much easier, it's much more affordable as well for people like us who don't have a great deal of money. It's much more accessible. I could just kind of build a much smaller space and then share your other spaces with other people.
Give me that funny feeling in my chest. she breaks the mold of what we think of as what girls are interested in versus what guys are interested in. She's an individual.
Welding, grinding, cutting, sanding. I'd much rather wear grease than makeup.
Her mind just works like an engineer. She wants to know why.
The project kind of took on a life of its own. Now there's literally thousands of people watching to see what she succeeds at next.
My name is Catherine DeMaria. I'm 14 years old, and I'm rebuilding a Pontiac Fiero.
All right, what are you working on today?
We're going to do welding first.
Welding first. Okay.
My car that I'm building is a Fiero 86 GT. It's going to be all black and yellow interior. And then the body's going to be gloss black with yellow racing stripes. My car is going to be fast and sporty and just cool.
Michigan has a great car culture, home of the Motor City. It's a great place to be to work on a car.
I'm going to be welding in the back of my frame rail right now. I'm going to do 1-inch stitches, so I'll have like an inch, no weld, and then an inch here. I got the idea to build my car the summer before I turned 12. I've been to one or two car shows with my dad before, and so that's where the idea sparked, hey, maybe I could rebuild a car.
She said, I want to redo a car so that it's done for my 16th birthday. And it's like, okay.
I just knew that it wouldn't work unless I had good reasons. So I'm like, well, if I build a car, then I'd get the experience. I'd be able to possibly look into future careers.
She's like, I'm going to pay for it myself. It'll be a car that only has two seats, so I won't have a lot of friends to get in trouble with. So we decided, okay, we'll let her try it.
Fiero, a brilliant example of Pontiac innovation in action. Fiero, only from Pontiac.
I picked the Pontiac Fiero because it's pretty much all curves. There's like no straight edges on it whatsoever, and it's little, so I figured it would be easier to build than like rebuilding a huge semi-truck or something. And the amount that I personally spent on my car has probably been over $2,000 from babysitting and selling my welding art online.
She's put probably close to 1,000 hours of work, or maybe even more than that by this point.
All my friends are like, you should be putting on makeup, you should be prancing around with us all. And I'm like, I can't, I gotta work on my car. They're like, your car can wait. And I'm like, no, you can wait. It's like in Twilight, Bella has this really old truck, and everybody teases her about it, but she loves it. Same principle.
One of the reasons why she's been able to keep her interest in this project is the fact that she continues to learn. And to learn new skills.
What I'm holding in my hands right now is my camshaft. It moves the lifters, which moves the pushrod, which moves the rockers, which pushes down on the springs, which moves the valves. So far, the skills I've learned on this car is welding, grinding, cutting, sanding. I learned how to upholster things, how to change tires, how to change my fluids, how to take apart an engine. I look at different textbooks and things, then I ask my dad and my uncle, what do you know about this? My goal for finishing the car is to have it done on my 16th birthday because it's kind of like you're 16, now you're free. Right now, I am about halfway through in both time and in progress, so I think it can happen.
Anything you gotta fill, you gotta sand more.
What?
Sanding is the thing she hates far and away. Everything else she gets excited to do.
Somebody at some point took a rattle can and pretty much spray painted it black. So I have to sand all the way through all those layers and then repaint it.
The big trick is to keep that thing moving. Don't let it sit in one place ever.
Especially with black.
Yeah. Sanding is kind of like having to do laundry every day. It's just repetitive and there's not really much of a point to it other than it needs done.
I think that's taught her stick-to-itiveness and commitment, and then finally you see the end result.
The motivation for me is just being able to visualize what I want in the end. Otherwise, you're just staring at the details. You need to be able to see the whole picture as well. I think the bolt's turning with it, Daddy.
Yep, it is.
It's a lot of fun working with my dad because we know how to joke but still get the work done.
We've created a rapport that we can talk about anything. I mean, there's things that she shared with me that I think there's no way I would have ever told my parents that. We've talked about money. We've talked about how to plan for college. We've talked about boys and sex. And it's just a safe space for her and I to just kind of grow and learn and build together.
Oh, that's an awesome weld. You should come see it.
Yeah, that looks nice, kid.
I like that weld.
Good. One of the things that's probably surprised us the most is how many people have taken an interest in her story and how quickly it spread throughout the internet. And it really kind of probably started off of her forum. People started responding back. You know, I've got to spare this. Could I send it to her? Then pretty soon we had a pile of things that had been shipped to her for her project. And they came from Canada, from all over the U.S., from Australia. From there, the project kind of took on a life of its own. AutoBuild, they're the largest automotive magazine on the planet, named Catherine AutoBuild's 2012 Woman of the Year.
All the support has been really encouraging because it just shows that I am making a difference and I can do this. And so when I'm stuck on something, then I'm like, I'm not alone. I've got people out there who will help.
She knows that there's literally thousands of people watching to see what she succeeds at next. And so I think there's some of that in the back of her mind that I can't let these people down now.
I think people have been so enthusiastic because it's not necessarily something you see every day, because my age sets me apart from most people who work on them, and also the fact that I'm a girl working in what would be considered a guy's field. As much as that kind of annoys me, really, it's just annoying that people are always asking me, so what's it like to be a girl doing this? It doesn't really matter that I'm a girl doing this. I mean, I'm able to do it just as well as any other person.
Got it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that there are enough women working in the engineering field because they think, oh, it's a guy's world. But I hear these stories about women who are in it, and they've brought so much to it.
Hi, Catherine. Michelle Pickering. Great to meet you.
You too.
What do you want to see at the auto show, Catherine? You can see the rest of Chevrolet. You can see the Camaro.
Let's do the Camaro.
Okay.
I want to talk with them about their role mostly. I want to see how much women can actually bring to the automotive world.
You see that neat
Oh, there's a handle. Look at this. There's a handle.
At 14, I never would have accomplished half as much.
How old are you?
14.
Wow.
Catherine just is so impressive in terms of her knowledge and her way she handles herself.
Her mind just works like an engineer. She wants to know why.
I'm just trying to figure out this timing chain thing. What's going on here?
I want to see how challenging it is or how different it is for women.
When I first came in, many times I was viewed as being a secretary. Today that's different. There are many opportunities for women, although we still don't have an equal number of women in the engineering fields as we do males.
My concern is that as a society, we may not be encouraging women to go into science, technology, engineering, or math even. But Catherine seems to have figured it out all by herself.
We want to keep contact with you and make sure that, you know, you progress the way you are.
I look forward to it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Clearly, it's going to be an exciting day when she gets to drive the car out of the garage. But I think she's going to be looking for what's next. Because I think for her and for me, it's been that whole learning process that's been most important.
This car project has definitely changed my outlook on what I want to do. I've really become interested in being a mechanical engineer. After high school, I'd really like to go to a big engineering school. There's been a few places who have contacted me, and it's been kind of cool to see them reaching out already. It's important to me to be a role model in this project because I want to be there to say, hey, look, girls really can do this. You shouldn't put them down if they want to try. Just give them the chance. I think that people should have the chance to chase after their dreams and help them come true.
La da 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 da. I don't know what else to say, so I'm just gonna hum, make random noises. Good with you? Okay, good with me.
Fiero, only from Pontiac.
We build excitement.
Okay, cash flow houses at eCommerceville. One of the things we want to be concentrating on a regular is when you build these tiny houses, now you can build it to live in, you can build it to rent it out for cash flow, monthly cash flow, or whatever you want to set it up, or you can build it to sell it. I recommend build it for, have a budget, Well, this week we're going to talk about, or at least today, the budget of $500 to $1,500. to see if you're going to sell it through e-commerce. If you put it up on eBay, you're going to get a quick sale. You know, let's say you built it for $1,500. On eBay, you can easily sell it for, resell it for, I mean, and people will give you $3,000, they'll pay $3,000 to $5,000 for cash. The sweet spot, that's where, matter of fact, on eBay, there's a whole bunch of people that got $5,000. And they'll buy that building from you for $5,000 cash. All right. So that's what I'm saying. Build for $500 to no more than, let's say, $1,500. Let's just make it real simplified. I'm telling you, this is based on experience. So let me go back to the phone line. And if you, like I say, if you can do it once a month, once a week, or if you get some partners together, go into production. 253, your mic is open.
Good morning, everyone. I have the phone number for Strictly Business Podcast, 516-387-1512. Yeah.
Okay, give us that again. Give us that again.
516-387-1512.
Okay, and what time is that? That's what, Monday through Friday?
He comes on 5 p.m. Pacific, so that's 8 p.m.
Eastern time.
Eastern, yes, 7 p.m. Central. Mm-hmm.
Okay, got it.
Monday through Friday.
I missed it. Yeah, Monday through. I missed it last night. What did they go over last night?
Pleasant. I came on and I stayed for an hour, and Pleasant wasn't on when I left, and so we asked some questions about things like whether we thought it was right to tell another country or tell someone not to help another country that, you know, the United States is having a problem with, you know.
Right, okay.
You know,
oh,
things like that.
Political,
yeah,
political,
yeah.
Part of the show, okay, all right.
Yeah,
all right,
yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you have going in Vibes Live and other ventures?
Oh, well, I've been doing some branding work for an indie artist group, Thunder and Lightning, and we have a big interview coming up this weekend with singer, actress, pastor, she's a wonderful woman, Terry Remsen, will be in the house Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. Yes, in the Vibe chat room.
Okay, now is there? Mm-hmm. Oh, chat room. That's on the line then.
I have a phone number. I just don't have it in front of me right now.
Okay.
You would think I would have it memorized as much as I'm on the air, but no, sorry, but I'll have it for you in just a minute.
Okay, good. Well, you know what?
Yeah,
when
yeah.
Hold it. You know what? I tell you what. Let me play this musical interlude. That should give you some time to get the number. Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Okay, Robin. Any luck? Robin? Okay, we're waiting for Robin to... Oh, you know what? I got to open up Robin's mic. Okay.
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 I thought it was Mike. Sorry.
Okay. All right. So what is the numbers for the Vibes Live set?
319-527-4961. Mm-hmm. No pin, just straight dial in. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
319-527-4961. Thursday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Central. Miss Terry Remsen will be in the house. Yeah.
Okay. Matter of fact, give us, for those that are not familiar with Vibes Live, give us some background.
Vibes Live is a radio station that plays all genres, and it's a unique station because we actually have actual connection and rapport with many of the artists that you hear on the station. And then we also do exclusive interviews and red carpet interviews, celebrity interviews, and we do things like go to Los Angeles, and we also produce other talk shows and radio shows and podcasts as well. It's My House being one of them. So, yeah, and you can reach us at VibesLive.com, Vibes Live Radio. You can also find Vibes Live Radio everywhere, in Twitter, in Periscope, in YouTube, iHeart, iTunes, Google Play, Apple Play, Spreaker, Eeny, Meeny, Miny, and Mo. Yeah. That's all. Excuse my grandson in the background, everyone. Okay, hello. All right, it's...
Today's podcast is titled Cash Flow Houses at E-Commerceville, 619-768-2945. So this Cash Flow House will be a bread and butter of what we do around here from here on out on a daily basis. And yesterday, then you can keep track of stuff or what we're doing and even join in if you go to our Facebook page, which is titled E-Commerceville, E-Commerce Social Network. We did a road trip within a road trip yesterday, which included, as I flew up from Florida to go to Chicago, then from Chicago I met up with Pleasant Stephens, met him and his family. His lovely wife cooked some real nice brunch, and met a couple of his grandsons, toured his office and real lovely home, and then spot where we can, where they'll probably hold some tiny house workshops there. And then we called up another blogger, Reba Brown. He did a road trip to Hopkins Park, Illinois, in Pembroke, Illinois. They're like, the locals there consider them one and the same. So, in any event, so you go on our Facebook E-Commerceville page. We got pictures and a little video as well of yesterday's. Anyway, with these cash flow houses, so one of the things that we'll be building, and this is, just think about yourself individually. If you're looking for to make some money, it with these houses, essentially, you have to have a budget of anywhere from $500 to no more than maybe $1,500, $1,600. Because you'll be able to put it online. And the sweet spot, $3,000 to $5,000. You won't have any problems. I've never had any problems. And you shouldn't either. Because when you resell at $5,000, there's a lot of people that can afford that. So they can either buy it and live in it, or buy it for the sole purpose of renting it out. They buy it and they put it up on Airbnb and they can make their money back quickly that way. Or they can buy it and just, you know, straight sell it for whatever they want. So we'll have sessions on that as well. In any event, if anybody's got any comments, questions, 619-768-2945, the number to call in. If not, we'll end it up. But I'll go back to Robin. Open up Robin's mic. Robin, any comments or questions?
No, I don't. And I've got a noisy grandson next to me, so I'm going to mute.
All right, no problem. And I don't know if Pleasant Stephens is around, but Pleasant, if you're there, press 1. If not, I don't think, yeah. All right, so anyway, he has a podcast Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. Central time, so adjust it to your local time slot, and let me see, let me find it. If I can find it, I got it here somewhere. Okay. The number for Strictly Business and Pleasant Stephens and Al Zora, who does quilts and some other stuff, 516-387-1512. All right, that's the Strictly Business Podcast, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m., what do you call it, Eastern Standard Time, just for your local time zone, globally speaking, 516-387-1512. And hey, look, everybody have a good rest of the day.